How you measure it, this is a landmark exhibition. Walking through the galleries, I have to tell you that I am simply astonished at the extraordinary loans that have been made to us. Now, the exhibition takes up a theme that I think is of broad interest today, portraiture and the issue of identity, both of the individual and of the body politic. But it does so by concentrating on a particular moment and place, 16th century Florence, during the period when the centuries-old republic was transformed into a Medici duchy imposed on the city by the Holy Roman Emperor Charles V. Duke Cosimo Primo de' Medici is omnipresent, and you will see him as military figure, as statesman, and as a cultural impresario. Because with a combination of brute force and vision, he managed to carve out for Florence a place in a Europe of newly powerful nation states. There was a trade-off. While he imposed stability on a politically fractious city, it was at the cost of the Republic with elected officials. The upside was that the city escaped becoming a mere outpost of the Habsburg Empire and instead secured an enduring place on the European stage. Now, despite what its title might suggest, the exhibition is not about the Medici and their climb to power, but about the social and the intellectual elite who inhabited this transformed state and the politics of culture that Cosimo brilliantly employed to reclaim the great literary, intellectual, and artistic figures of Florence's Republican past in order to exalt a new absolutist state. At the very center of this transformation were questions of identity, a communal identity constructed around a common language and a shared cultural and intellectual heritage descended from the city's Republican past. Cosimo founded a state institution, the Accademia Fiorentina, to promote this heritage, which had as its center Dante, who many of you will recall was himself a political exile. It's a story worth reflecting upon today. In multiple ways, his achievement became a model throughout Europe. Now, I want to emphasize two points. The exhibition presents extraordinary masterpieces that chart the ways in which some of the greatest artists of Western tradition constructed identity and portraits of simply astonishing quality and invention. Works that continue to resonate into the 19th century in the work of Ingres and Delacroix. And I think standing before some of Bronzino's paintings, you will instantly understand why they were so interested in them. And second, it's an exhibition that benefits from close looking, for these are portraits that contravene our common assumptions about portraiture, and I can't emphasize that enough. In 16th century Florence, likeness or resemblance was secondary to the consciously poetic construction of an individual. Dress, metaphor, and allegory are used to allude to cultural interests, the social status, and perhaps even occasionally the political affiliations, because Cosimo did not win everybody over. The dominant concept is portraiture as a mask, both revealing and hiding aspects of identity, as well as occasionally making ironic comments on the poetics on which these hyper-sophisticated paintings are based, and they are incredibly sophisticated paintings. Now, Bronzino was an accomplished poet, and we display both his elevated and his burlesque poetry. And his burlesque poetry is incredibly transgressive. I would not be able to talk about it to you today, but if you're interested, Carlo Falciani will give you some idea of just how transgressive it is. The overlap between literary conventions and those of painting was a fundamental part the visual language that artists evolved. That I'm able to stand here to inaugurate this exhibition seems to me actually almost miraculous. And never have I been more aware of how dependent a project of this scope and ambition is on the collaborative, and I have to emphasize persistent efforts of so many people. There were several points during the pandemic when I felt the project would have to be abandoned. But the persistent and absolutely committed efforts of everyone involved kept it alive. They're recognized in the catalog, but I want here to give my personal thanks to all of them, many of them are here in this room, for accomplishing what seemed at the very least an improbability. In particular, I owe a huge debt of thanks to Alison Barone and to Merle Cohen, the Senior Associate and Chief Registrar. My God, you cannot imagine what these people have done. Right down to 3 days before shipment was to come, we were still negotiating for visas for people to accompany the pictures. They cleared obstacles in a remarkable way. Francesca Marzulla, my research assistant, has been on top of every detail. And as you walk through the galleries, and I hope that you will find them as elegant as I do, you will want to know who was the mastermind behind it. That was Dan Kershaw, working with an extraordinary team of graphic artists. But then there is everybody else that's in this extraordinary institution, the riggers, the metal shops, the plexi people. It's an extraordinary place to work. Never have I been so aware and so indebted to the work of all of these people. And I thought that this is a good time to even call out. I've worked with them for many years, and naturally, it's one of the most touching things to me that the head of our legal department is retiring the same day I am. And this is a person who I just simply adore, who really has made everything possible that we do in the galleries. But of course, the person to whom I'm truly indebted for shaping the exhibition and assuring that both its intellectual and its aesthetic content would be of the highest level is Carlo Falciani, who I personally wanted to have been invited as the guest curator. Max has already told you where he teaches and his many achievements. This has been an amazing journey. From our optimistic beginning, meeting together with the authors of the catalog, through the anxiety and imposed isolation of COVID, which transformed the familiar process of negotiation and research, and which did not spare Carlo. Travel restrictions meant that Carlo's presence here today was not assured. It took the intervention of a number of people to secure the exemptions that he needed. But he is here, and it's a great, great pleasure to turn over the microphone to Carlo.